We read together our scripture reading and pay attention to what God is doing, what he is saying, and what the invitation is for us today. Let's read together. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it." By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. And so on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that you speak to us through scripture. And we ask, Lord, may your word today be like a light unto our path. We want to receive what you want to give us today. We long for your work in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a story about a man who once went on a hunting expedition in Africa. And one morning he decides to leave camp and he walks a few kilometers into the jungle where he found two guinea fowls. And so he caught them and he strapped his catch onto his belt and there he went back off to camp. But at one point, he felt like he was being followed, so he stopped and he placed his hands on his gun and he started looking around. And as he turned around, his fears disappeared because he saw who it was that was following him. A naked and clearly starving boy followed him at a distance. And he could see that the boy's goal was food and posed no threat. And so when he saw this, he stopped and he dropped the guinea fowl to the ground, signaled to the boy that he could come and he could take the two birds. And so the boy ran up to the two fowls and stood and watched and refused to pick them up. As a confused, this hunter tried with words and gestures to tell the boy that he could take the birds. It's his, it's a gift. But the boy refused to pick them up. As a finally, in desperation, unable to explain what else he wanted, what the hunter was saying, the boy retreated several meters from the dead birds. He stood and he stretched out his arms and opened his hands, waiting for the man to place the birds in his hands. And despite hunger, fear, distress, he refused to just take the birds. He waited until they were given to him. He waited until he could receive them. As I read this story, I wondered what our life would look like, be like, if like this boy, we would wait until life was given to us as a gift. And instead of just taking carpe diem, seize the day, respond by receiving the blessing, the gift of life. Now in our passage today, we see how God comes and he gifts, he blesses man with life. And he does it while giving a commandment that might seem strange at first sight when he says to them, this everything you see is a gift to you, but don't eat from the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And essentially, I think what God was saying to Adam and Eve, what God was saying to man was, I'm going to give you a life. I'm going to bless you with life. You may only receive it as blessing. You may never just take it. To take it will ruin and destroy the gift that it is, because you are blessed. It is a blessing given to you. And all creation is blessed. In our scripture, we see every single time that God creates, he looks at his creation. He says it's good. And then he commands or invites creation to multiply so that that blessing can increase. That is who God is. He's a God who blesses, and he's a God who is generous. And this is the very first thing that we can learn about blessing, is that God is the one who blesses, and that we need that blessing so much. Because blessing means to be seen, and every single one of us live with a longing and a desire to be seen, to be delighted in. To bless is to speak words of pleasure and delight, but not only words, it's also affirmation through action. So God makes man, he sees man, he blesses man, but he affirms and confirms the blessing by giving man the garden and giving this invitation to tend, to multiply, to take the generosity of God's blessing and allow it to spread. And this is the good news today. That God also blesses us. God also sees us, says it is good, and invites us to multiply, receive, live in that blessing. You are blessed. It's essentially who you are. This is how God has created you. And with him, you and I can enter and experience a blessed life with him. Become aware, become conscious that that is who God is and that is who you are. That's our first invitation today. Because when you start living as a blessed, as if you start living with a blessed consciousness, the whole world changes. The way you look at yourself, the way you look at others, and the way you look at our world changes. You have a new consciousness. Consciousness is the eyes through which we look at life, and everything looks different in our world when you have a consciousness that you and everything else are blessed. That's what happened to Jesus. Do you remember at his baptism? The Father blesses his Son. Jesus comes out of the water, and a voice from heaven says, "You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And immediately the Spirit comes over him. He's led by the Spirit. He receives the Spirit. See what's happening here? The Father looks at him. He sees something good in it. He says it. And then he affirms, acknowledges, and confirms it by giving him his Spirit to help him to make this blessing come true in his life, to cultivate the consciousness that you are my blessed Son. And then Jesus goes into the wilderness, and there this consciousness grows inside of him. And it's with that consciousness that he is blessed, that he goes out into the world. And everything he says gets influenced by that. Jesus says, if you are blessed, then it doesn't matter if you're poor, because you're free. Blessed are those who have people speaking ill of them. Blessed are you when you are persecuted. Blessed are you when you're at the end of your rope. He's saying, whatever your circumstances are, if you have a consciousness that I'm blessed, everything looks different. Everything. Now, unfortunately, the opposite is true for many of us. We go into our world, we look at ourselves, we look at others, we look at what's happening around us, and we don't look at it through a blessed consciousness, but with a cursed consciousness. We live with the idea and the reality that we're cursed, and as a result, in whatever subtle ways, we curse one another. But we're invited to live with a blessed consciousness, because that is what we have been created to be. That is the original words spoken over us, words of blessing. And when I live with that consciousness, I start finding joy and pleasure in creation and the gifts that God has blessed me with. And it's a pleasure, not in a way that is for my own gain, but a pleasure and gratitude for what God has done and who he is and what he is gifting me in my life. the psalm writers, when you go through the psalms, I just noticed how they live with the consciousness of being blessed. That everything they are and have is because of God, not because of themselves. In Psalm 104, the writer says, "May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works." That is such a beautiful image, that God rejoices, God delights in his works. That's what we see in Genesis. It's good. "He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke, I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live, and may my meditations, may the things that I think of be pleasing to him as I rejoice in God." What an example of living with the consciousness of an awareness of the blessings, the blessings. God loves to bless. That is who he is. And it's not just, it doesn't stop at the creation story. After the creation story, he blesses Noah and his sons. He blesses Abram. He blesses Jacob. Jesus is blessed. We are blessed. You and I are blessed. He blesses Jacob. In Genesis 49, he says, "You are a lion of Judah. You will hold a scepter. You will tie your donkey to a vine." And these images sound familiar because they would later be used by prophets to describe and predict the coming of the Messiah. They would all be picked up later in the New Testament to describe Jesus. And then through Jesus, God's blessing comes to all people. To those who have no status, to those who have done nothing in the eyes of the world to deserve it, to people like you and me. This is who God is, a God who blesses. He blessed, he is blessing, and he will bless. Do you know what kind of blessing he is working on right now? What blessing is coming for us? If you read Revelation, if you read Scripture, we're going to be blessed out of our socks. Because God finds joy and pleasure and delight in us. And when we become conscious of that, it has an enormous effect on how we go through life. So become conscious. Become aware. Because when I become aware, I can start receiving this blessing. I can receive, I am blessed. Now, philosophers and philosophies throughout the ages emphasize the fact that evil will always dominate in our world. And that we can't do anything about it. We must just accept it and we must adapt. But that's not the Bible's story. That's not God's story. The story is that we can choose. I present to you with life and death. Choose life. There's a choice. Choose life. Receive life. Receive the blessing I've given. Yes, there are a lot of evil and brokenness in this world, but there's a commitment to blessing. And we can receive that blessing. If Adam and Eve had not reached out and just taken an act, if they had received the blessing, our world would look differently. If you and I can receive the blessing, our world will look differently. An old rabbi once said in a very down-to-earth teaching, there's more good than evil in this world. Maybe just a little bit, but there is more. Because goodness is part of everything that we see and touch and experience. Because God himself has made it. God himself is goodness. And God himself said it is good. He has blessed it. It is grounded. It is the ground of the being of nature and creation. It is the ground of the being of who you and I are. And it is goodness and blessing that brings forth life. Through goodness and blessing, Jesus' death and resurrection allow us not to be trapped in evil, darkness, brokenness, and sin of our world and existence, but that we can receive the blessed life and things can change. There's a different way of life. There's a life through him that we can receive and live. And he's still creating. He's still blessing. He continues this work he had started in Genesis. The scriptures say that to us through the Holy Spirit. What God has made is being continued in us and through us every single moment of the day. Paul writes to Titus. He says to him at one stage, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we've done, but because of his mercy. And he saved us through the washing of rebirth and by the renewal that comes by the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. To the Philippians, he says, I'm confident of this, that he who has begun the good work in us, he who began that, he will carry it on to the completion until the day of Christ's return. God is continuously working his blessing into this world. And as we receive that blessing, it will also be caused within us. It will grow, it will increase, it will develop, it will mature, it will deepen, and it will be strengthened by his Spirit working in us. He is the one that makes us instruments of the same blessing and the same goodness that God shares from the beginning of time. There's a story of a very famous writer who tells that she always looked different to her peers. She was born with a cleft palate. And when she started school, her classmates made it very clear that she looked different to them. I mean, you can imagine a girl with a crooked lip, crooked nose, crooked teeth, broken speech. And so when her schoolmates would ask her, what happened to your lip? She told them she fell and cut it on a piece of glass. And somehow she felt it would be more acceptable to say it was an accident than to say she was born this way. And she was convinced that no one outside of her family could love her. And then one day in grade two, a new teacher starts at the school, and she becomes one of the favorites in a very short time, Mrs. Leonard. And every year the class had to undergo a hearing test, and the teacher would sit on the other side of the room and whisper something to the children. They had to repeat back what they heard. And so she would whisper things like, the sky is blue, or do you have new shoes on? And so this little girl, the writer, it was her turn, and she would stand in front of the class and she would wait. And she says that on that day, the Lord must have put those seven words in her mouth that had changed her life forever. The words Mrs. Leonard whispered, I wish you were my little girl. Her life changed. How do we choose to bless in a broken world? How do we receive blessing despite our own brokenness and pain and sinfulness that we see and experience in our world? We can only give what we receive. And that's the third invitation, is to give this blessing, to live into this blessing. The last book in the Bible begins like the first with blessing. Revelation and Genesis both communicate God's ultimate plan. It's the life of blessing that we call his kingdom. There's something big happening in this world. The greatest thing that is happening in this world right now is the coming of the kingdom of God. That's what scripture says, and you and I are a part of it, that God's kingdom is coming into this world. The Jews believe that God created all things, and that one day he will bring the righteous to life and heal all creation. They believe that God would step in, that he would forgive sins of his people, establish justice, end suffering, heal the creation, and resurrect his people to enjoy the new creation. They believe that when it happens, it'll be dramatic, obvious, undeniable, and this is important. They believe that this would happen at the end of history. Jesus comes and says, it's not something that's going to happen. It is happening. The kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus says another type of life is available to us here and now. Your life doesn't have to look like this. He brings something else, another life in the kingdom of God, where God is real, where I can change and I can become who I should be, where I can experience God's resources and grace and blessings every moment of my life. God does both the making and the saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus, and he invites us to join in the work he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do. These are the words of Paul in Ephesians 2. We live as blessed when we take Jesus according to his words. We take what he said and we begin to learn how to put those words into practice every single day. Then we share, we give the blessing of the kingdom of God. As we do this, we find ourselves stepping into that kingdom. So when Jesus says something like, bless those who curse you, learn how to do it. Learn how to bless. Learn to follow God. From the beginning of time, he would see, he would acknowledge, he would say, and he would confirm. And maybe you might fail in the beginning, but it's not about being perfect. It's about being a learner to live as a blessed person, to follow. And as I try to follow Jesus, he'll come and help me. He helps me through his spirit and his grace and his presence. I want to end by giving you a blessing today. And maybe you want to open up your hands as a symbol of receiving this blessing. I bless you with a deep knowledge and an insight into who you really are. You are God's creation and God's beloved. His power is working in you. God blesses you with power and his strength. You can do much more and have much more and achieve much more than you can ever dream of according to the power that works in you. The Lord bless you with the insights of Christ. He blesses you with the ability to see and follow his thoughts and his emotions and his will in your life. He blesses you with wisdom and insight so that you can let go of barren, dark, illogical thoughts. He blesses you with that deep longing within you that is hidden beneath the emotions and the desires with which you are so familiar. He blesses you. He blesses your relationship. God blesses you. He blesses you with reconciliation where there's brokenness, with forgiveness where there's anger and bitterness. He heals where there is pain. You are blessed in your relationship with your father, your mother, your partner, your children, your grandchildren, colleagues, friends, even those you don't like at all. You are blessed in your connections, in your wonder within this world. God bless you. Be touched with the beauty and wonder of this creation. He blesses you so that you will be fascinated with the plants and the animals and the stars that exist. He blesses you in the diversity of our existence. Be inspired by other cultures, people, differences. There is wonder in that too. God bless you with his kingdom in this world. His kingdom that is growing and becoming stronger. The Lord Jesus is with you. His grace is with you. His love is with you. You are blessed by God. Amen.